You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Merkez al-Sahaba.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. Was salatu was salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa habibina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise and blessings are due to Allah, the creator, nourisher, sustainer and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today is the 11th of September 2019, corresponding with the 12th of Muharram 1441. This is Suhail Muhammad Vahid alongside the medical masters Dr. Yusuf Abdul Qadir Vahid and a special guest in studio, Mr. Tony Bays, who is actually an advisor working together with the Liberty Group. And today's topic on Medical File is the NHI Bill and the pros and cons related to it. The NHI Bill actually is quite extensive and it's quite a broad topic, so I don't think this today's time slot would do justice to the entire subject. Therefore, I'm sure Dr. Vahid and Mr. Bays would have a repeat or a follow-up program. I now hand you over to Dr. Vahid. Assalamu alaikum, Doc.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Suhail bhai, alhamdulillah for the, I should say jazakumullah khair for the introduction. And NHI is a very, very, very important factor in our lives. And as Muslims, I believe firmly that we should welcome NHI. What is NHI? Inshallah, our guest, Mr. Tony Bays, Baysa, yes. Well, obviously, we all have our views. The rich will have a view, the poor will have a view. And just in a nutshell, NHI aims to bring in national health coverage. How do we do that? Or how do we extend health to every other person in the country? Which other way do we have? Currently, 85% of the population depend on the public sector. And 15% of the population, well, inshallah, next week I'll come with all the monetary values and monetary, but let's put it in terms of value. The amount of money that is spent in the private health sector for only 15% of the population supersedes the amount of money that is being spent on the public health sector. Now, how can we have national health coverage in a very, very lopsided manner? And I'm sure Mr. Pace, who comes from the private sector, and just look after people's money, he's got to worry about shareholders.
Sure.
He will be anti, I should use the word anti-NHI. But before I hand you over to Mr. Tony Bays, without much ado, let me just bring him on. Mr. Tony Bays, ahlan wa sahlan, simply means welcome.
Thank you, Doc. Doc, from my point of view, I do get your point about the lopsidedness. The NHI is not there to either demise the medical schemes that are there. It seems to sound that way when we do read into the way that it's structured or the way that it's put across. But in a nutshell, the NHI has been put together as a funding mechanism or a funding system that will take care of the health cares of all South Africans in South Africa, with the purpose of making sure that equal health care is given. So it takes care of the issue that you are looking at, in terms of the lopsidedness. Yes, the public or the private sector is going to be putting their backs against the wall and fighting for this because that's where they make most of their money from when it comes to healthcare itself, and this is where the profits are shown as well. When we come back to where the National Health Act is now, it's going to cost us 256 billion rands to put this into place or to make sure that the NHI becomes.
But will that be over what, 6-7 years?
Yes, it's going to take, apparently, according to what has been put out by our Minister of Health, it's going to take up to 6 years. So by 2026, it should be in place. For now.
No, 2026, it will be fully functional.
Yes, it should be in place and implemented. So what the system that is, or the phases that are being taken place into consideration now, it was done in three phases. The first phase was in 2011, 2012, where it was brought to the assembly. Now, during this time, they are looking at actually getting service providers to register with the NHI. And then from that point on, it will have to be seen if it can be implemented as they would like it to be implemented. But the real issue is who's going to pay for this. And this is where a lot of South Africans are starting to feel that they don't want to pay for a service that they might not use. But then they have to look at it from another point of view. There are people, as you have just said, the lopsidedness, the people that don't have. In that terms, those are the people that will actually benefit the most from this being put into place, because our private health care is really taking advantage of the system that is currently being run.
Agrees, wholeheartedly. But the thing is, how do we correct it?
Currently, the way that it is going to be run, this is what has been put down on paper, but it has never been implemented or really stated as such. We have heard that they will take funds from different taxpayers, or not really only the taxpayers. They have said that they will pool funds from different sectors, such as our taxpayers. So the brackets might go up as well in terms of that. They might also take some money from money that has to be sent out to different municipalities, pull it into one, to pay for those particular services. So the NHI wants to basically put it in a nutshell. You come to the NHI before you can go to a specialist. The specialist will be regulated in terms of what prices they can charge. In that regard, it makes it easier for the government to actually make the health care more cost effective for the normal South African as well.
Sorry, I just want to interject there a little.
Please, doctor.
Just ask if I heard you correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Specialists will be working for the government. You said the specialists will be kept on what they charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in other words, they will still be in private practice.
So basically, the NHI wants to look at both private and public sector.
You see, if you look at the UK, perhaps Australia, another model of NHI should be in Canada, New Zealand, I suppose. But let's take UK, because most of our model, or the model that South Africa is wanting to implement, is more or less based on the UK model.
Correct.
Now, the thing is, I read an article by Dawi Root, the economist.
Yes.
A tongue-in-cheek article, he talks about 2026, how there's going to be a brain drain, how doctors are going to leave the country, and how people... I mean, look, we haven't even given it a chance, and it's already doom and gloom.
I think that's being the feeling from most...
it's a hype that's created by the media and by the rich multinationals.
Very true.
By the medical aids. Because the medical aids tend to lose millions.
They will be losing billions.
Literally billions. Thanks. You see why I'm actually a proponent. Why?
Mm-hmm.
At least now, healthcare will be given to you according to your condition.
Very true.
In other words, it won't depend on how much you have or how rich you are.
Yes.
It will depend on how sick you are.
So it will be based on your sickness and not your social status as well.
Not your chele, not your money.
Yeah, that's very true. Mm. So in that regard.
So in other words, you are agreeing with me.
I do agree with you in that sense.
I don't want you to get fired from your.
No, never. I do agree with you in that sense. I also think that if we analyze it properly from an economic point of view, we are seeing that the more money or the more control that we have over sectors like our healthcare, the money that we can save from there can actually be penetrated back into our economy. But as a private organization, coming from a private sector.
I believe you're Liberty Life.
Yes,
right?
I am.
Is it called Liberty Life, am I right?
Yes, it's the Liberty Group.
Now, what is the business of business?
Our business is to make sure that we take care of everybody's health, their risk, and their money. But in that regard,
you didn't answer my question. You see, when I did an MBA, it was 2011. I finished it. The first thing that was put on the board by the lecturer, the business of business is business.
Our business is business.
Basically, what it means. To hell with you if you got no money.
True.
You understand?
I get you.
I got to worry about the shareholders. I got to worry about the CEOs and what have you.
Yes.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. The figures are mind-boggling.
It is.
And I was a CEO of a hospital in Welcome. I'm not saying that the current situation of the hospitals and clinics and the primary health care is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not. But why are there so many private hospitals springing up if it wasn't healthy to make money?
Doc, when you look at what the profits are or the paybacks from the hospital side on a private area, more and more people are looking at the government sector and seeing at the long queues because of lack of service delivery from that point of view. And this is
Can I ask you, and this is one quick interjection again.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying what I'm going to tell you now.
Yeah.
Do you blame the NHI?
I don't.
Wait, let's get it. Let me just finish what I'm asking. Do you blame the NHI for the long queues?
No, I don't.
Do you blame the NHI for the poor condition of the hospitals?
No, I don't.
So then why are we here discussing it?
I am not blaming the NHI. What I'm saying is, the reason why a lot of people that have vested interest in the medical side of business, as you've just put it, would have an issue with the NHI, it's because they would lose money, one. But they also don't want to be inconvenienced by the long queues that are found at some of these public institutions,
I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Mm-hmm.
That some patients come to the hospital as early as 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's true.
They return home at 8, 9 o'clock at night without having been seen or without even having been given any medication.
Yeah,
and they come back the next day. Look, I am not happy about that. And I'm sure anybody for that matter.
None of us are.
No matter how rich you are. But so why aren't you giving NHI a chance?
It's not that we're not giving NHI a chance. We are looking at who is going to be paying for this service.
We already,
you as a taxpayer is going to be paying more than what you pay.
Just as you are a taxpayer, just as Swahil is a taxpayer.
Yes.
The point I'm making here is that let's get the NHI in. Let's get our taxes well spent before we have the blessers of today taking all our money.
I get you there, Doc. And
now,
Doc,
my take of the NHI is this. Very simply put, nobody will be left out. And the guys who are going to be super rich are the ones going to service your medical aid.
Expenses, okay. So, in that regard,
a question was asked.
Yes.
In fact, we're not talking about NHI, but then I can even bring that to the NHI. For example, cosmetic surgery.
Yes.
I am sure that NHI won't start with cosmetic surgery.
Never. They will start with the bare necessities.
That's it. But if Tony says, I want to look like a 16-year-old Mapumbat or Mapansula or whatever,
yeah,
he can have it done.
Yeah. So,
but those are the ones that are going to pray
in, are going to pay for it. Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, what I'm saying is that if the NHI doesn't provide the service, then only you're going to go to private.
Very true. So,
for example, appendectomy.
Yes.
NHI will have will provide the appendectomy.
Yes.
But if NHI does not provide the appendectomy, see now, so the question comes in. People start asking, what will NHI provide?
Speaking of questions, sorry to interject both of you. Doc, there seems to be a question. Can I?
Please.
Go ahead.
Okay. So there's a question from Nadim in Durban. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Vahid and Mr. Tony. Alhamdulillah, excellent choice of topic. I have a few questions that I'm sure all the listeners will have on their minds. Doc, should I call out all the questions and...
Let's go at it one by one.
Okay, so question one is...
Who is it?
How will the NHI work? Okay. Following up from that, the second question is, who will pay for NHI? Thirdly, what services will NHI offer? And lastly, how will this affect my medical aid? So that is a question from Nadim in Durban.
Okay, let's start from...
It's a four-pronged question.
Okay, so let's start with question one. Oh.
Bottom of medical aid.
Okay. So how will this affect your medical aid? Your medical aid will be affected in the following way. Anything that NHI does not cover or the medical aid will really not be...
A medical aid.
Yes,
anymore.
Exactly. The medical aid will only be used for added-on benefits that the NHI does not cover. So basically,
like cosmetic surgery,
exactly like Doc has just put it. For an exam, but if you had to put it like on a flight, your economic class would be your basic NHI, and if you had to upgrade yourself to business class, you're still getting to the same point, but you're getting there comfortably. That would basically explain what your medical aid will do. It will be exactly just an added-on buffer for those. Added services,
for
basically.
Perks, put it in
basically, the nice things as well. Second question to that, who will pay for it? They are looking at taking money from the taxpayers. We'll look at getting a bit more money.
At the moment, the taxpayers are paying for the public service.
We are paying for it.
So?
So it's going to cost us a little bit more, though.
No, a little bit, a lot bit more.
When you say a little bit...
It's going to cost us 256 billion rand more to fund such a project.
Yeah, but 256 billion divided by 6 or 7, whatever number of years. You see what happens is the media,
yes,
is how things are portrayed.
Very true.
You, unfortunately, I left my papers at the lecture class in a different bag. But I'll get the exact figures and I'll send it to you, Tony, and I'll next week even give it to our
listeners. Yeah.
The thing is, the figures that are touted around, people say the country can't afford it at all. Yet we've had three foreign governments, big shots, let's put it that way, ambassadors or somewhere the prime minister, presidents, who have egged South Africa on.
Mm-hmm.
They say South Africa is going in the right direction.
So, in terms of where we are going to with NHI, it has impact.
Well, you see what I want from the private sector?
Yes.
Not that I don't like money. Not that I don't like good things in life, but we should prioritize.
Yes.
Like the private sector what are we going to do now? Our taxes are going to go up. Nothing has happened as yet, but we're already predicting.
We are predicting this because we are trying to see where the money is going to be coming from. A person from the private sector, right, is not really governed. Let's say you are earning a salary that is not fixed. You are governed by how much you are bringing in based on what your tax bracket will be for that particular month. So if you are bringing in much more, you are feeling it a bit more as well as a taxpayer.
Yes,
so in that regard, and that's where your problem is.
The point I'm making, it's like this, you know, in the past we should always complain.
Yeah.
Why should you work much more harder?
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you earn, the more you pay. So, then don't earn more.
Well, Doc, we all want to earn a bit more money. It's inevitable that everybody wants
again,
a bit more
I'm
money.
Again, I'm saying, earn more money.
Pay
see,
more
I,
tax.
I, look, sometimes, I shouldn't be a doctor. Honestly.
Why you say this, Doc?
Because of the poor. It hurts me, honestly. What I see in practice, or what I have been seeing in practice,
yeah.
It's actually... Let me put it, summarize it. Those who need it can't afford it, and those who can afford it don't need it.
Very true.
On that note, I think we need to pay our medical bills, so I think we will...
We're going to pay our energy bill.
Our energy bill. So, and our taxes, so let's take a quick break, and upon our return, I see there's a follow-up question here regarding who will pay for the NHI. I think the person wants more
clarity.
So after the break, inshallah.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal
Jama'ah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Medical File. Alhamdulillah. Today we have in studio Dr. Yusuf Abdul Qadir Vaid and Mr. Tony Bays of Liberty Insurance Group. Prior to our break, we were discussing, well, they were discussing and I was on the sidelines. We were discussing the NHI bill and we didn't really get into the crux of it because obviously it's such a broad topic. However, there was a question before we broke. And I see another question has come through. So, Doc, perhaps we could we just very quickly clear up these questions? Okay, so there's another question here.
So far, have you cleared up the questions that have come before the break?
Two parts of it. The third and last part, I suppose, towards the end of the show because it... okay, let me just read out this question in front of me. Okay, so you earlier on you mentioned that medical aid will pay for things like cosmetic surgery, but...
Medical aid will be over and above.
Okay, so...
In other words, whatever, not necessarily cosmetic surgery.
Okay.
Whatever the NHI does not have.
Right. So, if medical aid doesn't pay for it, so if someone requires cosmetic surgery, what would happen? I think that's the gist of the question. Who will pay for it?
The point is... look, as I was explaining to you off air, Suhail, can you read for me the ayat, لَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ? Right. If you, Allah Ta'ala made you ugly, I can't help it. I can't make you any more better. You understand what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala made Dr. Vaid ugly. I can't become a hunk of the world overnight. You can see the example of that was Michael Jackson. He had a complete facial change. Let's just get to the serious part of it.
Okay.
The medical aid will decide whether a surgery is necessary.
So it would be discretionary, obviously, based on...
Unless you're super rich like Suhail Vaid, then you don't have to worry about medical aid. You go and pay for it and get it done.
Yeah, so the medical aid will basically only pay for any surgery, either cosmetically, if it is needed and there is a given reason.
See, like GEMS medical aid. I'm going to mention GEMS, one of the worst medical aids ever that you can.
Why GEMS?
Government employee. I'm a government employee.
Okay.
You understand? For example, diabetes is a very, very, very common condition.
Sure.
Especially in South Africa amongst the Indian population.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, whites, blacks, yellow, coloureds, everyone are getting into the same boat because of the urbanization of our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get a surgery that enables you to lose weight. It's called bariatric surgery. You lose a lot of weight and basically cure your diabetes as well.
Okay.
Medically, it won't pay. Now, if I was a business guy advising medical aids,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather get all my diabetic patients and let them go and have the procedure done.
Because it would cost you less on medical bills in the future.
On the long run, because look, you see, one is diabetes, control of diabetes itself. The other one is complications, your heart attacks, your amputations, your in-hospital, what you call admissions, all will come down.
Very true.
But what they say, bariatric surgery is cosmetic, so they don't pay for it.
Okay, but sorry to interject once again. The person who sent through the question said that cosmetic surgery sometimes could also be in the form of third-degree burns.
Yes.
Where it required. So,
correct.
So in that sense?
We just told you now,
yes.
Every case will be judged on its merit.
On its merit, okay.
Now, the medical aid will say, for example, burns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, disfigurement will bring you, disfigurement will bring you into depression. It'll not allow you to go out to work.
Yeah.
There are so many other things that go with it.
True.
In fact, I was trying to explain earlier off air, like lipodystrophy due to HIV medication will give a huge breast example. But that's going to affect your spine and back. Mm. You won't be able to work.
Yes.
And in those instances, I have seen medical aids come to the party.
Yes, because there is a valid reason for why it
That's
is
right.
needed.
But if medical aids are going to have non-medical personnel making these decisions, it's not going to help. But let's get on to NHI.
Yes. So with NHI, as Doc has put it, anything that the NHI does not cover, your medical aid would cover.
Let's take a simple example. Say NHI does not have ophthalmologist.
Yes.
Or they don't have ophthalmology service.
Yes.
Then you can go to your medical aid. But I just use a stupid example. Obviously, ophthalmology is one of the basic
needs. Yeah. But yeah, basically in a nutshell, that's exactly what would happen to your medical aid. It will only take care of the things that the NHI does not take care of, and it will only make sure that those costs that the NHI does not want or cannot cover as well would be covered by
it. You see what's happening? We are discussing this from your side, the business point of view.
Yes.
From my side, from a doctor's point of view.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you got the wrong doctor.
Okay.
You got a doctor who's supporting the poor. But doesn't matter. I can think rich as well.
I'm glad.
Like a normal guy, you know, hey, I'm feeling for dollar and rice.
Yeah.
But I'm eating biryani, I make niyat of dollar rice and eat the biryani.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I can make niyat of driving a Ferrari, but I drive a Hyundai around.
Okay.
Sorry to interject once again. There's a question from Nazreen, Sister Nazreen. Salams, I want to know if IVF treatments are covered by the new system and is private hospitals or because countries like USA, IVF treatments are free, fertility, I think it's related to.
Look, it's a very good question and a very valid question.
Yes.
The thing is, first, NHI will go first with all the basic necessities.
Only necessities at the moment.
Right.
Yes.
As it comes, when it becomes a fully fledged system, let's say, or a fully fledged model in our country,
yes,
then IVF will be included.
That would become part of family planning, which is a necessity within the economy as well.
That's right.
So in the future, it
but
will become...
Can I ask you, at the moment, in South Africa,
yes,
does the public service cover?
No, it does not at the moment.
What if I tell you it does?
Then I would be surprised, because would it require you to actually have a reason for you to need the...
No. There are couples who are generally...
struggling in that regard.
Struggling to have a child. In Bloemfontein, we have a unit at University Hospital.
Okay.
It's a public hospital.
You see, but that there could also be used as a research facility as well. So in that regard, so in that regard, it depends really on how you place it.
But look at the cost.
The cost is covered by someone funding it. Yes.
Yes. The point I'm making. Look at the cost now in the private sector.
True.
I had a friend that just tells me, for his daughter, he paid 70,000 rand just to undergo infertility treatment.
Mm.
Before Suhail interjects again as a lawyer, let me give you the example. Carte Blanche had this point on NHI. Now the guy, when he needed some work done on his teeth.
Yeah.
And he was quoted 33,000 rand in the private sector.
Mm. Yeah.
Yet, it was done in the public sector for how much?
Three times the amount.
Not even three times, 1,800. Yeah. It's there on the clip.
That's absolutely shocking, man.
So okay. In other words, you can see the cost, how it has been, how inflated it is in the private sector.
Yeah, very, 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 very.
Now
very.
You tell me which poor person can afford that.
Okay, so on that, I see there's a very interesting question. Did you know the size of the spending gap? So the average amount spent on healthcare for each person covered by a medical scheme member was 9,972 rands in the year 2009. In the same year, the average amount spent on each person relying totally on public health services was 1,925 rand. So obviously, that goes back to what you were saying, Doc.
Say, yeah.
So nearly 7 out of 10 South Africans, that's probably about 68%, rely entirely on public health services.
Mm. While is that the pie graph?
Yes. While 16% are members of medical schemes,
mm-hmm.
another 16% pay from their pockets to see private GPs and dentists, like you mentioned, but use public hospitals for serious illnesses. Now, the source of this, what I've just read to you, is the Health Economics Unit, and it's from the UCT.
Yes, that's correct. That's why I asked you if it's a pie graph, because
yes.
At the moment, I've seen the graph somewhere.
So that does make sense. Mm. From a point of view that from a public sector, we are more regulated in terms of what one can charge. We are also governed by what is in the fund.
Mm.
Right, Doc?
It's true. Very, very true.
So, in regards to NHI,
with all that, what you told me now,
yes,
how come you still have such big pools, reserves?
You see, Doc,
if that is not your profit, then what it is?
We are going back to what you are saying. What is our business? Our business is our business of making money.
So that is why that is why the private sector is going to jump. Because NHI is leveling the playing fields.
It's very true from what you are saying. But, Doc, if you look at what the medical aides would be giving up as well, they'll be giving up a lot of their clientele, right? But they would have to adjust according to what they can provide. So let's give an example.
Look, before you go ahead, I had this one thing in my mind before I forget. Co-payments.
Yes.
Depends on the procedure. See, like the procedure that I have to go and replace my battery.
Yes.
It's going to cost me roughly 40,000-50,000 rands.
Yes.
And on top of it, my co-payment on that is another 20,000 rands.
Yes. So with NHI, there will be no co-payments needed.
That's right.
You would actually just be referred and the procedure will be done for you without you having to pay any money, because it will be paid out of the fund that would be gathered or pooled together from our sources of funds, which is our taxes, other sources of incomes as well, where equal distribution should be made when the budget is made, actually, at the beginning of each financial year.
I can give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
In the year, I'm talking from practical experience. In the year 2014, I was promoted to be a CEO of the Bongani Hospital in Welkom.
Alhamdulillah.
And the budget of the regional hospital, combined with the district, was 590 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we couldn't buy one panado.
Sure.
Where did the money go? I promised the poor there at that time that as long as I'm in this hospital, I'll give you a better service than the private mediclinic in Welkom. I'm not going to mention names of which doctors or what have you.
Please don't.
Okay. The reason being, I was unceremoniously dumped out of the hospital within 3.5 months because we're trying to repair or correct the wrongs. The head of departments, I'm talking about the medical head of departments of the hospital, wouldn't spend more than, the guy who spent the most time was about roughly an hour in the hospital.
Correct.
Yet, he was running his full private practice in Mediclinic in Welkom.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he was getting, I think in 2014, he was about 1.5 million rand package, you know, car, housing, everything.
For being there an hour?
No, he was stealing.
Mm.
Because the contract did not say he must be there just an hour.
Yes.
But another very important point I'm going to bring to you now. When you say, for example, I've used up my medical aid. We are sitting now in September.
Yes.
And I need
You've exhausted it. Yeah, what would happen in that?
No, I'm talking about now. Yeah. Let's talk about what's happening now.
Right.
I go to the government hospital and join the queue.
Yes.
So in other words, the doctor that's working in the hospital and in the private sector, first he creams all the medical aid money out.
Yes.
Now, he's the head of department. For let's take something fancy. Let's take surgery or orthopedics or whatever you want. Just say I need my gallbladder removed. Now, suddenly, I got a gallstone, I need my gallbladder removed.
Yes.
But I've eaten all your money up. And the government sector has got a long queue. But I'm the head of department.
Sure.
You don't have to wait for the queue. Get the point?
Yeah, I do.
I've creamed the medical aid already. I finish up all your medical aid. Then I go into the public sector and use all the facilities and say the public sector is failing.
Yeah.
Now, when the playing fields are going to be leveled, then what are you going to say?
I don't think it would give people much room to actually maneuver Steve, such creative ways of extorting money.
I like the way you turned around your statements.
Yeah, you have to be light on your feet.
No, by the time Tony leaves here, Tony will be a proponent of NHI.
You see, Doc, I'm not saying that it's bad. All I'm saying is,
how are we going to fund it?
Yes.
Yes, and I
well, everybody say the same thing.
So question two that we had earlier on, out of the four, is who will pay for NHI? So you said that
the taxpayer will just pay a bit more.
No.
So that means there'll be an increased tax.
So the tax on payroll would be a little bit more as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's one place that they would get it. Also, individual taxes would be also picked up a little bit more.
Right.
So in a nutshell, us as taxpayers will pay for the NHI.
Right. So what guarantee do we have? Sorry, and I know this is a side, there's a side opinion or side opinionated question, but what guarantee do we have that this thing won't, the system won't fail?
What guarantee do you have that it's going to fail?
Yes.
It's the same question. We're not Allah. Allah can only judge the future. We're going to make the proper effort and put the proper people who won't steal, who won't perjure themselves, who won't lie, who won't lie to the public,
mm-hmm.
in management positions.
Because the figures that Tony has spoken about, as well as yourself, Doc, what is it, 256
billion.
256 billion.
That's just
billion.
To get that's it into place. That happens to run it.
Yeah. I don't have, I was telling you, let's divide it by six.
Hmm.
What do you get?
Yeah, just under
256 divided by 6. Just call it 40 million, 45 million a year. Let's make it 50 million. I mean billion, sorry.
Billion.
at this point in time, that 50 billion you guys got as reserves, all built up reserves already in the medical aid.
But Doc,
you see what's going to happen? There'll be no medical aid. The money that Suhail was paying for the medical aid, the money that Yusuf Vaid was paying for the medical aid, will now go onto the NHI fund.
Mm-hmm.
So that means my entire, say for example, my entire premium that I'm paying for my
how
medical
much?
Aid.
Give me an example.
I'm not going to tell you what.
I'm paying 11,000 rands out of my salary and the frozen.
Okay, that's alhamdulillah. That's due to your advanced stage in life and family and age as well. But alhamdulillah. So basically, my entire say for example,
I'll be so happy that 11,000 rand of mine is going into a good cause.
To a good cause. Okay, so you're looking at I suppose that would be
at
the best.
At this point in time, it's going in the back pockets of thieves and chores.
Unscrupulous
people.
Yes. And these are, bear in mind, these are highly educated people as well.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
So called. Look, I did my MBA, not for nothing.
Alhamdulillah.
I must put it into practice.
Yes. And now that, sorry Doc, now that you're doing your LLM in medical legal, I suppose perhaps in time to come, when you get your professorship, you'll probably be on one of the panels, and then you, who knows, you might be somewhere up there in the ranks in the NHI.
Inshallah, if you get Allah Ta'ala must use me in that area which I can be used. That's
Inshallah,
all.
I mean, all of us.
Not to steal, not to become a professor or whatever.
Let's hope that everybody thinks that way, Doc. Because the way forward for us is always going to be.
You see, this is about Markaz Sahaba. It's an online radio. It's called the voice of the Ahle Sunnah wa Jama'ah. What does that mean, Tony? You know all the guys there, Tony, but inshallah, the next time we won't call you Tony, we'll say Yusuf. You see what I'm saying? The voice of the. We as Muslims, these are fundamental rights of human being.
Yeah.
Look, the constitution, the right to health, is a constitutional right of the poor.
Sure, correct.
Yes.
But my supreme constitution, I always maintain this when I come on air, and I always had a discussion with Suhail in the past. My supreme constitution is Al Quran, the commands of Allah, and the tariqah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There will be clashes because remember, these are man-made laws.
Right? As opposed to divine law.
And in fact, I wrote a very small WhatsApp, I won't call it, let's call it a small thing on a WhatsApp, but I actually did I won't call it a thesis. I did it as part of my MBA a couple of years ago. You heard of the Gini coefficient?
Yes, you mentioned it before.
Is the gap between the rich and the poor.
Sure.
The gap between the have and the have-nots. What you see in the country now, what you saw in Jeppistown, it's got nothing to do with politics. I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
I predicted that. Let's not call it a prediction. I don't like my predictions to come correct. But what we did was, no, I'm serious. What I did was I took the Gini coefficient. At that time, you should have all the service delivery rights. I said the service delivery rights has got nothing to do with race anymore. It's got nothing to do with black and white anymore. It's got to do with haves and have-nots. What's happening there in Jeppistown? People are calling it xenophobia. Look, Islam is totally against any kind of xenophobia. But if they're calling it xenophobia, out of the 12 deaths, why was it only two foreigners and 10 South Africans? If it was xenophobia, all the deaths should have been foreigners. My story is haves and have-nots. People are bringing it in the front as they're taking our jobs, they're taking our wives, they're taking our girlfriends, and we are hungry, we want food, what have you. That is just facade.
An ulterior motive.
An ulterior motive, you understand? Is the Gini coefficient at the end of the day. Same thing is happening in health. Same thing is happening in law. As far as I'm concerned, there's no justice in this country.
Mm-hmm. For the poor.
No. People say, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. But if you got the fulus, if you got the money, you're going to lean in some lens. If you don't have
very
the money,
true.
No, look at my case. I've got some case against the government at the moment. My legal bills are higher than my salary.
Cool.
And fortunately for me, obviously, the High Court has ruled in my favor, would cost,
alhamdulillah.
Okay, I won't tell you what my salary is, but my salary is not even half of the legal bill. Mm. 900,000 is the legal bill.
Mm.
Now you tell me which other commoner, we should say, black guy. I'm sounding racist, but I have to call a spade, can afford it.
Mm.
I used to go to court nearly every day whilst I was in Vancouver. I used to go nearly every day to court because of my job and my position.
As an assessor?
No. As a state witness.
Okay.
Expert witness for the state.
Right.
Okay.
Mainly in sexual offences. What I saw, in fact, I want to do a study on it. If they can make me a professor.
Yeah, that's your professorship.
Why I want to do a study on it is that all those people who had no lawyers, who had no money, got high sentence, 12 years, 10 years. Guys who had money, they could hire good lawyers. They got like 1 year, 2 year, or suspended sentence, or out of court.
So you mean that's obviously a mitigation of sentence. You got money, you'll get away.
That's right. Look at what is happening in courts. You go to courts now and see what's happening. You get some very, very funny judgments.
Yeah.
How many of us have the money to go to appeal?
Yeah, it's very difficult.
So the same thing is happening in health. We as Muslims, it becomes our duty. We cannot shy away from the fact that, look, you tell me how many people can afford 11,000 and a month medical aid.
There's very few.
Very, very few people.
It's actually like part of the 1% hell that can.
So what happened is with the 11,000, I'm still getting nothing.
Yeah, you're still getting the bare necessities.
That's right.
You aren't getting anything
so
extra.
So private health, and it's only in South Africa, and I'm stating you something openly, without fear or favor.
I have noticed.
It's only in South Africa that doctors in private practice can do what they are doing, make the amount of money they are making.
Yeah.
I say, see what's happening with the media. The media is frightened about funding.
Mm.
And we are getting hyped up. And 256 billion. I say 50 billion. We're already spending that kind of money. Then the hype making you afraid of what? You're going to, taxes are going to go high. This thing is going to fail. That is going to happen. You understand?
Yeah.
So doctors are leaving the country. I say you guys are welcome to leave the country. Because if you go to Australia, you're going back to the NHI. You go to Canada, you're going to NHI. There you can work for the NHI, but South Africa you can't work.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the exchange rate in that regard. But yeah.
Well, I'm very, very happy you brought the exchange rate up. Let's just take one quick example. Let's just say the Canadian dollar is 10 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, 10 rands will buy you one Canadian dollar.
Yes.
But you're going to live there in rands or in dollars.
In dollars?
So it's relative.
Yes. What you earn is relative to where you're staying.
That's right. If you're going to take your whole family and go to Canada, boss, you're going to battle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the purpose? Only in South Africa you got 10 maids in the house and 12 garden boys and 15 washer boys and what have you. Only in South Africa you can do that and afford that.
Very true, Doc.
But anyway, next week you're coming back to me.
Okay, inshallah, I think our time has elapsed. Doc, I see there's a last question. I think Mr. Tony would be more... either of the two of you, if your medical aid is for example says you can only visit 5 specialists and you need to go to an additional specialist. So,
okay. So
No. I think the question, well, just explain it to Tony. I think what the question is saying,
yes,
you got only 5 visits for a specialist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 specialists.
Right, sorry. I think, yeah, there's a typographical error. Yeah. So 5 specialists, 5 visits to a specialist, and you need to go for the 8th visit. Will it be covered? Something to that effect.
So what we have seen is that you have to actually get approval for it. So let's say you went to a specialist, but they could not actually identify exactly what was wrong, and they referred you as well. In that regard, that they would be looked at as one. Not all medical aids do it.
Okay.
There are some that refuse and stick to the specific 5 and don't cover the external ones that are needed from that point. But there are guys that do state, if a specialist cannot assist you in that regard, he will charge you for his time, but will refer you to someone that actually can cover you.
I think you're mixing the both. He's talking about 5 visits you allowed for specialists.
Yes.
Not referral part of it.
Okay. So within your 5...
Let's assume you need me. I've called you 5 times. I'm a specialist, right?
Yes.
You've come to me 5 times. Now you need to come to me the 6th and the 7th time. What would you going to do?
But in that regard, for you to actually visit that particular specialist, the specialist had to have stated how many visits he would require. So in that regard, I would go back.
I'll give you an example. Oncologist.
Okay. So what some medical aids do, not all of them, what some would do is if you surpass the 5 that is required, you need approval from the medical aid scheme itself to approve that for you.
Okay, I've had that experience. Maybe it will help Suhail. Maybe it will help the medical aid guys who steal our money every day. But it's not you, Tony. I'm picking up another medical aid.
Thank you, Doc.
No. What they do is, it's either you apply for what they call it ex gratia.
Yes.
Or they apply for your savings, they call it.
Correct.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, so as we have learned through experience, this is a very broad topic and it's going to be progressing,
see,
it's going to be developing.
You see, what happens?
Yes.
I can get Dr. Lomo, I just spoke to him before coming here.
Okay.
But the problem I have here is, are we answering the questions that the people want? If they're not going to interact, I don't know what they want, because as you say, you know, NHI is a vast topic.
Yep. You see, to us, the way I see it, Doc, not many people are aware of it as yet. And I was reading up on an article prior to attending today, and it's going to be across the media as it progresses and as the NHI develops.
Unfortunately, the media is hyping things up against NHI, which is sad.
But that is going to ask, that's going to make people ask questions, people who, it would stimulate some sort of response, I suppose. But on that note, sorry Doc, sorry to cut you off, and thank you for coming through today, Mr. Tony. Hopefully we will have you here next week, inshallah.
Jazakallah
khairan.
Adakallah, inshallah.
And Doc, if you would round us up, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المؤمنين حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل اني مسني الضر وانت ارحم الراحمين لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين
امين
اسال الله العظيم يا رب الاله العظيم ان يشفيني ويشفينا اللهم ربنا صاحب الباس واشفي انت الشافي لا شفاء الا شفاءك شفاء ان لا يغادر سقما
Amen.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Aziz, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Rahman, Rahim, Ya Allah. The national health system is going to be implemented in our country, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless it, Ya Allah. Ya
Amen.
Allah, put people that are capable of running the system, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the poor in our country are becoming poorer while the rich are becoming richer. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. Do not forget us. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to spend on the poor and support the poor, Ya Allah. There's
Amen.
Been mentioned something to the effect, Ya Allah, that the Nabi, your beloved Nabi was asked that on the day of Qiyamah, you've been in such a high, lofty position, how are we to meet you? And what was a simple reply, a humble reply? You will find me amongst the poor.
Subhanallah.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahim, Ya Aziz, you forgive us. We do not know how to ask, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman, guide us.
Amen.
Let us get the correct guess. Let us ask the correct questions.
Amen.
Ya Allah, let us establish your deen and the tariqah of your Nabi Karim
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam
in this beloved country of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring in good governance into this, not only NHI, but to the entire country, Ya Allah.
Amen.
Ya Rahman, I know we are all wrong. We are sinners. We don't even know how to ask. Protect us. Protect our homes.
Amen.
Protect Tony and his family.
Amen.
Ya Allah, protect Hazrat Suhail and his family as well.
Amen.
Ya Allah, my cousin has just been released from ICU, and inshallah, she'll be going to rehab tomorrow. Ya Allah, give her complete shifa, Ya Allah.
Amen.
Her name is Razia Muhammadi, Ya Allah. You know, Ya Allah. I don't even have to mention the name, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I'm shaking with Parkinson's, Ya Allah. Shifa is in your hand. Parkinson is in your hand. We do not know whose Ameen will get accepted. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Aziz, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Rahman, Rahimin, Ya Allah. Protect us, Ya Allah.
Amen.
Keep us humble, Ya Allah. Keep us in your service. Keep us in the service of the poor, Ya Allah. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين
الحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين جزاك الله خير دوك once again Dr. Suhail for
but now you are hijacking my show Suhail.
Well you asked me to co-host with you reluctantly I came in
yeah but you didn't ask all the legal very for the legalities to come up but you asked one question
yeah okay but inshallah we shall next week
look as I always let me just say this once to all listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahle Sunnah wa Jamaah, as I say, from now to next week, Wednesday, have a healthy, wealthy, prosperous NHI week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.